Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingala Consulting. Cingala Consulting was founded on the basic principle that the patient should be at the center of every decision made by healthcare organizations. Our mission is to help these organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. We bring together industry leaders on air each week to engage in conversations about the patient experience with a focus on the developments in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us again today. I'm AJ Malaragno, president and co-founder of Cingala Consulting and today's host of Experience Health Radio. So today's topic is around scheduling optimization, a big topic today in healthcare systems that are looking to standardize and or centralize their scheduling processes or operations. We talk constantly about the need for standardization first before healthcare systems can centralize its access and intake operations, and nowhere is that more important and true than with the scheduling operations. As healthcare systems integrate technology with their existing processes, they end up bringing in some of those bad processes that they put in place when they initially implemented their EMR. For example, we've come across clients that have hundreds of visit types, and in some cases, hundreds within a single department. Because over the years, the clinics and the physicians and the operations have created these unnecessarily complicated rules. And I'm sure that we've all heard of them and seen them and probably acting within those rules. Things like brown hair, blue-eyed kids on Tuesdays between the ages of 18 and 23. Therefore, I think we need to create a specialized visit type or appointment type. So today, we're going to focus on why this is a problem and what other problems that this causes and downstream effects, as an example, in self-service, as you try to enhance your self-service engagement. What does this mean down the road? And the ideal setup of what this looks like. So today we have an expert on the show to walk us through some of the scheduling optimization. I'm welcoming Carolyn Beard, who has more than 27 years of healthcare experience working in clinical and hospital operations, software design and build, and Epic implementation. She's Epic Cadence certified and has led appointment conversion projects, developed reports, work queues, has worked as a testing coordinator for hospital build projects. There isn't really much that Carolyn hasn't done. And she's completed some big projects at places like the Cleveland Clinic and NYU Medical Center. I'm also excited to announce that Carolyn is now collaborating with us here at Cingala. We're working together on several projects that allow us to truly bring her expertise and get the most out of the technology solutions that organizations have invested in. So with that, Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Hi, AJ. Thank you for having me.
So, Carolyn, let's jump right in. Let's talk about EHRs and why all of a sudden now is the issue of scheduling optimization coming up? I know from my perspective, it's really around, all right, we need to create training guides, for example. And as we do that, we create these standards that just do not exist. And in order to standardize these processes, it becomes very difficult when you're trying to train a new employee or call center agent, and these schedules are just all over the board with visit types and how they have to truly understand when to apply each one of these rules. What are some of the things that you have seen in your travels relating to EHR scheduling?
You know, I find that a lot of organizations implemented their EHR so quickly that they just built in the very basic things. They didn't utilize the bells and whistles that can help them get through scheduling without having to have someone in the office that has been there for years and knows everything and has caused all these sticky notes all over their computers. If they had taken the time maybe to think about the design and build all that in, their life would be so much simpler. And when they did it just basically to begin with, then they have to go back and enhance, and that becomes a very daunting thing for a lot of people.
Well, you bring up a great point, Carolyn, in how you said that the office staff or assistant or front desk person, they know specifically how to schedule appointments for that specific position. I can't tell you how many times we hear that about, I don't want to centralize. My staff understands when I'm going to or what type of patient I'm going to see or need to see, how much time that requires, and so on and so forth. Is that what you're thinking, that's how this initially, because really centralization wasn't really thought of 10, 15 years ago when we first started implementing the EHR. Do you think that that's a result of where we are today?
I do. Everyone has so much faith in that one person that they don't want to give it up and let anybody else schedule somewhere in a location in another building. They want to make sure that scheduler is the one setting up their day so it goes as planned. But what they don't realize is you can build all of that into the system so that anyone can sit down and schedule an appointment. You don't have to have that one person.
So before we give the answer to the quiz today, what talk a little bit about some of the poor scheduling processes that you've seen out there. We want to, reassure our audience that they're not alone. This isn't something that is just very unique to them. We have multiple clients that initially state, we're very unique. We need these different types of visit types because this is the way that we're structured internally. And, every time we get further and further into the project, quickly they realize, okay, maybe we can change the way that we're doing this and make it much easier. So what are some of the scheduling processes, the poor scheduling processes that you've seen, and maybe some of the results from that, or either frustration from the patient or the staff, anything?
Sure. I find that they want very specific visit types, mostly for reporting purposes. And we see that once we show them they can get that same report from a different field in the system, then they're a little more open to not having, 100 different visit types in one department. I also see that they're not really looking at the big picture. A new patient or an established patient can be configured in most systems to be very specific to the department or the provider. You can pull in the duration Dr. A wants as well as the duration that Dr. B wants, and the system does it for you. You don't have to know in your head, this doctor wants 30 minutes, this doctor wants an hour for a new patient. I also see that a lot of times a physician will decide, well, this is an opportunity, I can take over my schedule. And they put so many blocks on it for specific visit types, and it makes it very difficult for the schedulers to find a date or a time that they can put in a patient. They don't give them the security they need to override. So having just a minimum number of basic visit types certainly opens that up, and the schedulers can do their job quickly, not having to put the patient on hold in order to go day by day by day until they can find an opening that is blocked for this very specific type of visit. Once
so,
they realize
okay,
that...
Go ahead. So
Once they realize what you
stated regards to reports. And we hear that a lot. And what do you mean by that? As far as the organization, wants to generate reports on how many patients with this diagnosis or how many patients saw the physician for this type of visit. Is that what you're talking about there?
Yes, that's correct. A lot of times, and I'll use a pediatric office as an example, they do a lot of school physicals or kindergarten physicals have to be done, you know, before they can start school. So they want a visit type specifically for a kindergarten physical. And so later they can go back during the summer hours and look at their patients that they need to say, okay, it's time to schedule, or a sports physical. They know they can't play sports when school starts unless they've had their physical and been cleared. So they can go back and run a report of all the patients they saw for a sports physical and start calling them to remind them that they need to make their appointment to get in for that physical. We find that we can report on that in different ways. We don't have to have a specific visit type in order to do that reporting.
So not going into too much detail, in that exact example, so the kids came last year for their sports physical, and now the new the school year is starting, so the organization, rightfully so, they want to be proactive, they want to engage their patients, so now they want to reach out to them, let's get you scheduled for the next year. So if they don't have a specific visit type for whatever, let's just call it school physical, school sports physical, how are they able to obtain that information?
They could certainly report based on the diagnosis entered during the visit. They could report based on maybe asking a question during scheduling. Is this a sports physical? You answer yes. That can be pulled into the schedule they work from when they're checking in the patient, so they know what the patient is being seen for. Okay, this established patient is actually a sports physical. There are just a lot of different ways they can pull that information out of the system. It does not have to be done with a visit type. I also see that following along that same lines, when a student starts kindergarten, they have to have immunizations. A lot of places have a very specific schedule for immunizations, a resource provider schedule. So you know anyone on that is going to be seen for immunizations. So why do you need a visit type that says immunizations? You can use just a one established patient visit type and then put in appointment notes needing kindergarten immunizations or needing college immunizations. You don't necessarily have to have a specific visit type for those things.
And that's something that I've heard come up a few times, Carolyn, of the whole appointment notes section and how you can't report on a free form field. But in addition to that, I'd like you first to address that, can you? And then the second, about creating smart phrases for those free-form fields that allow for quick entry. Is that also possible?
You know, it is possible. A lot of times we're told we can't report on free text fields. Typically you can. It's a very large report or could be a very large report. You can narrow it down, you know, entering the different criteria. Creating a smart phrase is a good way to be able to filter through a larger report and find specifically the information you're looking for. If it's just free text with no rules surrounding it, it could be entered so many different ways. But if you use a smart phrase, you know exactly what you're looking for, and it's going to be entered the same way every single time in those notes.
And then, Carolyn, you also touched on questions. So it is also our methodology or our process that we don't just merge or purge visit types without running in parallel, creating questionnaires that drive to the visit types, that ultimately drive to the correct block within the physician's template or the office template. Talk a little bit about the importance of question. Well, first, let's start with how questionnaires work. I think there's a little confusion out there about patient questionnaires and then scheduling questionnaires. So can you clarify that for our audience as well?
Sure. That's within the Epic system, you can ask many, many different kinds of questions, and you can tell that question or the answer to that question to drive to different things. Within scheduling questionnaires, you know, we go back to this person that has all this information stored in their head. They know what to ask, when to ask it, how to ask it. You can build all of that into the system so that anyone can sit down and schedule an appointment. They can ask these questions that will then, depending on how you set it up, drive to the correct visit type, drive to the correct schedule, because, you know, this doctor doesn't necessarily see someone needing to be seen for this, so we're going to drive it to this physician's schedule who does. There's just so much you can work into these questionnaires. It really is amazing what the system is capable of if you utilize everything they have to offer when it comes to the questionnaires. And it really is just a matter of sitting down with these people who know these doctors and know what they need to ask and how to schedule. Just sit down with them and design it out in a flow chart and then build it in the system to do what you need to do.
Yeah, I have witnessed firsthand that process of you know, really forcing the hand of clinical operations to say, all right, if we're going to land on whatever, let's just say 10 visit types, what are the questions that are ahead of those that drive to those visit types? And it's very, I don't know, in some cases frustrating and in other cases rewarding from a patient's perspective, because it really emphasizes the process that not only the person on the phone must go through and remember, but also the patient's perspective of how many questions are we going to ask them before we schedule the appointment. And I think that making sure that we consider the bare minimum number of questions in order to get the patient to the right physician, the right location, and so on and so forth, I think it's a balancing act. Would you agree?
I do agree. You certainly don't want it to seem like a survey when you're asking the patient questions. You want the minimum amount of questions, and you don't want to get too clinical in your questions. A lot of times schedulers, especially in call centers, don't have a clinical background that a nurse would have. So you've got to keep those clinical questions very generic when you're building and designing the system to ask the questions. And I would rather ask a few questions than to have to put the patient on hold while you look at their last visit or look at their chart. Okay, they say they need a follow-up, but what are they needing to be seen for? You need to build that into the system so that you can just get right through that question process and get that appointment scheduled as quickly as possible.
And, you know, talk a little bit about, Carolyn, some of your experience and what you went into as far as numbers of visit types or complexity, and what one of your projects ended up as and what some of those results were. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So I've seen it go from the very basic and simple to pretty complicated sometimes. I see questionnaires used in radiology departments that gather the needed information up front. And now these questions can show in many different places. A lot of times the patient was being asked this question three different times by three different people. And now I'm seeing that it can show up so that, for example, the radiology tech does not have to ask the patient again. They can see the patient's answer already. I've seen it be, you know, with a lot of specialty clinics that also have subspecialties, I've seen them want a very large amount of visit types to encompass all of that, but you really don't need that. If you use the questionnaires, you can tell the system to direct the scheduler to the right subspecialty and provider within that subspecialty. It can get very cumbersome, and a lot of times you just have to show how it's going to work in order to make the staff understand what you're trying to get to when you're creating these questionnaires and trying to drive it to the right schedule. I think they don't want to let go. They all know they're unique and they need these. But once you show them how it works, they tend to understand a little bit better, and they're willing to reduce that number of visit types, you know, reduce that number of maybe chief complaints that they want to incorporate into the scheduling process. And once they see how it works, they're like, okay, we can go back, we can look at this now and know how the answer to this is going to direct to this question, which will ultimately lead to the correct schedule.
So this isn't something, Carolyn, that is going to happen in a couple of months. This is, I mean, it's taken years for organizations to get to the point of where they are today. This is really largely on, you know, education and trust, and then once they realize, okay, we can do this, we can, or we are able to get the same amount of information out of it, and at the same time, we get the patients with the right physicians with the right location type of stuff. Would you agree to that?
I do agree to that. I do agree, and change is hard. You've already implemented this new system and they're finally used to it and now you want to change it again. But once you show them how it's going to work, they can usually say, okay, I'm ready for this. This will work for us.
Now, I've seen organizations, I've been part of an organization that has a very limited amount of visit types, maybe, I don't know, let's say 12 to 15 visit types for the entire organization. Things like new patient visit, follow-up, specialty, physical, whatever those are. Is there an ideal number, or is it really we just know it's not 500 or 1,700 like we've seen? Is there an ideal number out there? Is that magic number out there?
You know, I don't know that there's a magic number. I think getting it to 25 or under is pretty amazing, certainly within a whole health system. And I think you have to go into those discussions with that mindset, because really a new patient is a new patient is a new patient. Every doctor has a preference for a new patient, but that can be built into the system and they can have their individual times or their individual spots that they want to see new patients on a schedule. There really is not a need for a large amount of visit types. You know, you have new patients and follow-ups and maybe a procedure visit type, and you can get to all the rest of the information while you're scheduling the appointment, document it in the patient's record without having to have a very unique visit type for that visit.
You know, Carolyn, I have seen that very example, new patient visit, 30 minutes, new patient visit, 45 minutes, new patient visit, 20 minutes. That's a great example. And they're doing that with across all of the different visit types. And they sometimes will do new patient visit, 30 minutes, X location, new patient, 40 minutes, X location, you know, and it just keeps going on and on and on. And that, at least from my understanding, that was not how the visit types were initially intended to be used. But to your point, there was a big push. Let's get the system in. Let's use it the way we're using it today. And now what's happening is organizations are realizing that we can't manage, we can't train. What are the reasons for these visit types, and then making sure that we're able to accomplish that?
Right. These visit type master files get so large and so hard to maintain. And certainly having a unique one like an Oak Street new patient, and then they can report on that visit type. Well, they can also report on your location or your department and the number of new patient diagnoses you had that day. Or, you know, there's so many different ways to do it. You don't have to individualize them to that point. And initially, they did start that way because nobody really understood the system yet. They didn't really understand what fields they could report on. And I find a lot of times their legacy system that they're working from while they're designing has been built this way. So they think that it has to continue into the new system, and they're just not comfortable with letting go of that initially.
So we're getting close to the end of our show, but I wanted to touch on one other important area. And just as organizations are moving more towards the standardized, centralized scheduling operations, there's also a very big push on how do we engage our patients more so online. So there is a direct, I think there is, and I'm interested to see your thoughts on this. I think that there's a direct correlation to the consistent experience that patients have online to that of which how we are set up internally. So, for an example, if we have all of those different new patient visit types and you want to open that up to the general public, or not the general public, but to your patients to schedule online, makes it very difficult and cumbersome for the patients to figure out exactly how they want us to schedule. And the whole reason for visits now becomes significantly more complicated simply because of how these visit types are structured. Is that accurate or am I way off?
No, that's very accurate. I've seen a lot of health systems kind of shy away from the online scheduling because they do have so many types of visits. How can we ever get the patient to understand what they're needing to truly be seen for? So if you just have the minimum number of visit types and basic, you know, new patient, and you build all those nuances in individually for the providers, then it becomes very easy for a patient to go online and schedule a new patient appointment. They don't have to figure out what clinic do I need, you know, what they have their clinic, but then they're searching for this list. Oh my gosh, I can't find the one for my clinic. They can just go in and request, you know, a new patient or established patient visit. And with everything built into the system, it's going to automatically direct to where it needs to go without the patient even knowing that there are these nuances. So it would certainly open up more online scheduling if they could just do it with these basic visit types instead of expecting the patient online or being afraid that the patient won't know online what they need to do with all these, this huge list of visit types.
So Carolyn, we're at the end of our time. What final thoughts or advice can you give organizations that realize that yes, we fall in that category of 1,000+ visit types. We know it's not right, but where do we even begin? What final advice can you give them?
You know, just go in with a mindset of this is appointment scheduling. Scheduling can be very basic when you need it to be. So look at these visit types as, okay, new patient for this clinic is really just a new patient appointment, and we can get to all the other information building it into the system. And look at, have you really used this very specific visit type? And you might find that you've only used it 5 times. So go through your list with the mindset of we need to be very basic with our visit types, that a follow-up is a follow-up is a follow-up. It's not specific enough to require 20 different follow-up visit types. And just go in with that mindset, and they'll be very surprised at how drastically they can reduce that list of visit types.
Very good. Well, Carolyn, thank you so much. There's obviously a lot more to discuss around this. If anyone out there is interested in learning more about the approach and maybe some of the successes that we've had in the past doing this, please reach out to us at singolaconsulting.com. But, Carolyn, thank you so much for your insight. We look forward to continue working together on future projects, as this is now becoming a bigger and bigger demand. We see it, it was an absolute honor having you on the show today.
Thank you, AJ. It was my pleasure.
All right, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for joining us today, and please visit us at SingolaConsulting.com to learn more about how we can help your organization realize their investments. Remember to always put the patient at the center of every decision you make.